Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Real Ones Canes podcast. I'm the Beast, Brian Ludden. My partner is Brandon O'Doy. Do me a favor, go subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, all of those things, and go hit up the YouTube channel. A couple of milestones. We are, this is our 30th actual podcast on the Believe Network, so that's a good thing. And the YouTube channel, over 600 subs. That is a good thing as well, so we appreciate you guys. Happy New Year, everyone. And I need to be transparent. This is the second time that Brandon and I are recording this first segment of this podcast. We got the thing done. I took off. And all of a sudden, texts are coming my way that there's news happening. And here we are back here. Brandon, the last time we were together a couple hours ago, we were talking about Ja'Cory Brown returning to the Miami Hurricanes and Cam Ward heading to the NFL and all of that stuff and what was going to happen with the quarterback situation. We did some great content on that. But here we are. We get breaking news that we have a Tagovailoa in the portal. That'd be Talia Tagovailoa. The starter at Maryland has entered his name into the portal. There is obvious interest from the University of Miami. There's obvious interest on his behalf. I know his family has said they would love him to be at the University of Miami. Why? His brother, Tua, the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. The family is really comfortable with this area. They're already, you know, have planted themselves down here. They've planted roots. They would love to have both brothers down here. And here we are with the University of Miami to have a potentially very experienced quarterback on its roster. And the one thing I think we have to note is we don't know for sure. As of the recording of this podcast, Friday, January 5th, just about 2:30 p.m., we don't know that he has been guaranteed another year, a waiver, but I feel like if he has put his name in the portal, he knows something we don't.
Yeah, Beast, and that's very smart to point out. This young man is a very experienced quarterback. He is a person that started at the University of Miami, started at the University of Alabama, rather. And, you know, he was backing up his brother. He realized very quickly that, you know, he didn't have a future at Alabama, and he went with Coach Mike Locksley, who was a former Alabama coach, to Maryland. And it turned out to be one of the best things he's ever done in his career. Now, somewhere along the line, he played in parts of a fifth game, which is disqualifying him from receiving a red shirt. My understanding is that he didn't play very long, or whatever he did was reviewable. So he's going to apply for a waiver. And in these cases, this is one of the reasons the NCAA has basically become, you know, this organization that just gets out of the way of all kinds of trainings, because it's like, should he receive a waiver? He played in five games. You're only supposed to play in four. Doesn't matter if you play for a second. You play it down, it counts. You're not supposed to get it. But this is what happens. People always petition. People always sue the NCAA. People always bring things before this governing body. And in this case, it could play into Miami's favor, because what a gift this young man would be for the University of Miami. His brother's having an amazing year at the Miami Dolphins. He's been embraced by the South Florida community. And to have both Tagovailoa brothers in town, winning championships, doing big things, this city will explode. And I was told a long time ago, he was really the first choice, but it was about the waiver. Leads me to believe news coming out. Hey, look, I openly question Miami leadership. I'll eat any crow that I'm served, because if they can pull this off, this is a guy that won 8 games this year in a very tough Big Ten. Obviously, they're playing for a national championship. You can see this is the conference that pushed the SEC to the curb. And he's been a big part of, you know, that program's success. And, you know, listen, he had, you know, Josh Gattis, who a lot of people poo-pooed on here at the University of Miami. I always said it couldn't have been just him. We know how we feel about our departed quarterback. So yep. I think he had a little something to do with it. But at the end of the day, this will be a tremendous, I don't even want to get excited about the possibility of it, because it would be tremendous. And let me short stop you, because I know where you're going. Cam has to understand he can continue to develop. He's going to be a capable backup. But, you know, this guy's a one and done. And this is what Miami was trying to do.
Wait. You said Cam, or do you mean Jacory?
Jacory, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need to stop you there, right? Don't erase that,
because the realness of this is where all this foolishness is coming from. This is Cam foolishness. He still hasn't signed with an agent, and that's the problem when you get so invested in all of this stuff. You make people look bad. It's like, Cam, you're not going to be a Kane. Let's move on. But all right, I'm talking obviously about Jacory, and Jacory needs to remember, hey, you're still a freshman. You're a redshirt freshman, and you're going into your sophomore season, your redshirt sophomore season. You got 3 years to play. If you don't play this year, it's not the end of the world. Don't jump in the portal. If they get this young man, don't jump in the portal in the spring. Stay, develop, and you could be a one-and-done guy your junior year. Or something can happen, and you could be the starter. So
here's the thing. Here's where this helps and kind of sets up, and it's all about roster management, right? And as the portal becomes almost as important as recruiting, and you're reloading from the bottom end and the top end, right? Recruiting and the portal, it's all about roster management. You get Talia Tungavailoa in, okay? He plays 1 year. He's an experienced, really one of the most experienced quarterbacks in NCAA football, right? He's just played really well at a Maryland program that there's no expectations for him to do so, but he went there and it was a good fit. He comes into Miami. If this waiver is granted and everything works out, he gives you a steady hand at the quarterback. It gives Jacory Brown, who was able to take a red shirt this past year, to be 1,000%. You're the backup. And as we've seen in football at every level, the way the defenses have progressed, the way the quarterback position has advanced, there's a chance that, you know, no matter who your starting quarterback is, that person misses one or two games or however many games, that would let Jacory come in and start for those games. Or maybe they do a thing where they have a package for him. Whatever it is, he gets to play. But now you get to redshirt Emery, right? And he gets to take
which
a year
is what
off.
What he should have done this year,
right? He gets to
he
take
needs
a year
to get
off.
Better, he had a bicep injury. That's not right. A small pain.
Yeah. So now he'll get to develop. Judd becomes your third string quarterback, which is fine. Let him. Hopefully, he never has to play. He can redshirt. But if he does, he gets a couple of games, emergency backup, blowout time, whatever it is. And now you're setting yourself up to have success at that position by the way you're layering your roster management at the quarterback position. I really like it if this happens.
This is so presumptuous. Like, we're talking about this guy like he signed with Miami. This is so – we're so far down the road.
Well, I mean, listen – like, yeah, but you so have, bad. But at some point you have to read between the tea leaves, right? Like, everything I've read and looked into and heard is – that if he entered the portal, he wanted to come to Miami because his family they're a very close-knit family from Hawaii, right? Like, they want to be together here in Miami, and this was the only way this was going to happen. So I know you should never assume things. We know what happens when you assume things, but by him putting his name in the portal, it has to mean he has some sort of knowledge that he's going to be granted a waiver, and also that obviously that he would possibly end up at the University of Miami, right? Like, I just feel like that's what this is pointing towards. Now, look, we're going to get done. Yeah, Brandon, if you're just listening to this, Brandon is doing the woosah meditation thing to kind of wish it into existence. Now, listen, this could blow up in our faces, and we're going to upload this podcast, and like, you know, an hour from now, we're going to find out that he's going somewhere else, and then I'm going to, you know, have egg on my face. But I'm hoping for good things. I'm hoping that this is all going to work out. Can we do that? Yeah, can we hope for good things?
Yeah, you gotta hope for positive vibes, and we're not here to pour cold water on it. This whole quarterback thing has dominated the offseason. It's so bad. It's like Tyler play better, go to the league, Ja'Kari come along. Like all this stuff is just bad business. It's Emory don't get hurt. You know what I mean? It's all bad business. That's all this is. Because what should have happened is Tyler should have played well, played his way into the first or second round. Ja'Kari should have been the backup. He should not have been Emory. He should have shown signs and wonders and all these other things. We should be going into the season with him and two high school kids and get back on schedule. You can't, once you start grabbing a portal guy and bringing in things and not developing guys, like Alabama found it out this year. You can't go grab a dude to come in and be the guy. Like the guy has to develop on your bench. JJ McCarthy develops on the bench. Jalen Monroe develops on the bench. You know, Michael Penix, he developed. They went and got him at Washington. He's been with that same offensive coordinator, Caleb DeBoer. He was with him, developed through time. Yeah, they went and grabbed him, but he's been in that system 2 years. He had a pretty good year last year. They didn't quite get it done. They come back this year. They're in the national championship. Things take time in this sport. This is not an easy game to play. Elite college football, if you want to play at a high level, takes time. There are no microwave scenarios. There just aren't.
Do you think a lot of people are talking about that Mario Cristobal has to do some winning in year three? There has to be a big jump between year two and year three. That because that pressure is there, that he said to himself, listen, I got to go get a bona fide quarterback out of the portal in order to – you know, in order to help me do what I need to do in year three.
I think you want to make steady improvement. Anybody who thinks that the University of Miami is going to the national championship next year just doesn't understand.
Well, it is
getting into the, listen, hear me out.
Yep.
I think getting into the playoff is a reasonable expectation because there are 12 teams. Do you need to be in the top 12? I think you can be next year. And I think that that's the kind of improvement that is a reasonable expectation. If you can get into the first ever FBS playoff that's expanded past four teams, yeah, I think that's a super positive move in the right direction. I think that's attainable whether you get to Tua Tagovailoa or not. I think that's a goal, no matter who the quarterback is. I think, you know, whoever comes back, I think if you can start Ja'Kari, it's the same deal. Man, shoot, if you start Judd, I think that's the same deal because the team is there. You know, if you manage a quarterback and you run the ball and you have great defense, which you're going to have, you know, yeah, you should be in the top 12 of college football next year. Absolutely. I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation.
Yo, if you look at the teams that are playing for a national championship, and we'll get to that in the next segment, and the teams that had success this year, it comes down to them having program-type quarterbacks, guys that are bona fide starters, no doubt about it.
The deal is this. You don't even talk about winning a national championship until your quarterback is a dude. Outside of that, you're just hoping and wishing.
Yep.
You're just hoping and wishing.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So we'll see how this plays out, Brandon. Who knows what could possibly go down between now and our next episode. But signs are kind of pointing to this quarterback thing wrapping itself up and us being able to go into spring football feeling a little bit calmer about the position. Because if we didn't have Talia Tagovailoa, we didn't have Cam Ward, now we're just hoping. Now we're just
can I give a shout out right quick? I want to give a shout out to Adam Lichtenstein. I'm saying his name wrong. You know
what Lichtenstein?
Adam Lichtenstein. He announced on Twitter that he was going on vacation.
Yep.
And not even an hour later, this news starts to break.
Yeah, Adam said, from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
It would be good. He said it would be good if we didn't have any major Canes news. Almost not even an hour after he tweeted that.
Of course.
All of this stuff broke down.
Always. So like, no doubt.
Good job. Good timing on vacation, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I'm going to give you the credit for this one.
All right, so we'll get this up there. We are not going to get back to do a third intro segment for the podcast. I don't care what happens. We'll get this one's going to be up soon. I appreciate all you guys for making our numbers go up. We appreciate that. Brandon, on the other side, we'll have a conversation about some more Canes news involving a coach that getting a deserving raise and a contract extension, and we'll preview the national championship game, and you have kind of a link to one of the guys that's playing that championship game, and we'll talk about
and find out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and more. It is the Real Ones Canes podcast. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Real Ones Canes podcast. I'm the Beast, Brian London. He is Brandon O'Doy. Do us a favor. Go subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and go hit up the YouTube page, the Real Ones Canes podcast on YouTube. Brandon, some news came out just a couple of hours before we started recruiting this one. Gary Furman and the folks at Canesport broke it that looks like defensive coordinator for the University of Miami, Lance Guidry, is signing a 3-year contract extension that gives him a raise. His name was kind of floating out there as it relates to the LSU defensive coordinator job. I know that he was of the available candidates or people that other schools may look at as far as defensive coordinators. His name was out there, and it should be. He did a really good job with the University of Miami defense this year. And congrats to him for signing the contract extension. I really believe in staff consistency, so I like that. But also congrats to Dan Radakovich and the University of Miami for, you know, putting their money up when they have to.
Yeah, he deserved to get a raise, and congrats to Coach Guidry. He did a darn good job getting this Miami defense where it needed to be. He's inheriting a lot of very good, talented players. He had some younger guys ready to play in the bowl game, some guys that basically didn't play a lot. And so he did a lot of positive things. I think he needs a couple more years before we can give the reins to Jason Taylor. And so before we can be too concerned about, like, losing him to either being a head coach or going to someplace like LSU. We need to get to the point where Miami is a destination place, not just a pit stop. And so Dan Radakovich and Coach Cristobal, everybody's to be commended, because you don't want to have, you know, a lack of continuity going into a third season. You don't want these guys to be on their third coordinator in 3 years. Like, that's bad business. So you get to bring back Shannon Dawson. You get to bring back Lance Guidry in year three for Mario, year two for these guys. Those are all positives. So I'm looking forward to that. He deserves it. I don't think he would have gone to LSU, because that's a place where if they have too many more bad seasons, he's fine. You know, Mario Cristobal and this crew is going to be around for a lot longer than Brian Kelly will if he has another season like that. And that's sort of a burning house. It looks to be that Blake Baker, who we know very well, is on the short list there.
Of For sure.
If I were Blake Baker, I would stay. I know he's a Louisiana guy. That's been sort of his area. I would stay at Missouri with Drake. You know what I mean? There's a lot less pressure. But, you know, people have to do what they have to do for their families. And who am I not to tell someone to take possibly a dream job, go back to the area where you're from? I just like not to get fired. And there are fireable jobs, and LSU is one of them.
So Lance Guidry, let's just look at the impact that he had on Miami's defense this past season. So we'll compare Miami this year to the year
previous. You're really good at this, by the way. Like, I like what you're about to do. Like,
all right, yeah. So Guidry had the total defense at number 24 this year. It was number 65 the year before. They gave up 54 less yards per game. Rushing defense, they were number 52 in 2022, down to number 12 in 2023, giving up close to 37 less yards on the ground per game. Passing defense, they were number 79 in the country in 2022 to number 55 in the country, gave up only 216 yards passing this season. And scoring defense, which is the important thing, they went from number 67 in the country to number 44 in the country, giving up almost five less points per game. So Lance Guidry definitely had an impact. And I was thinking about it this morning, Brandon, when I saw the news. You know, yes, Lance Guidry gets a lot of credit and he's getting the raise and the contract extension, but I really love their defensive staff. I really like the guys that they have on that side of the football. I mean, I like their entire coaching staff and what they're able to do, and everyone serves a great purpose, but they've really put together a great coaching staff on that defensive side of the football.
Yeah, Coach Adai in the secondary, he's probably the MVP of that staff. He's had the most continuity. His defensive secondary play lights out. And the biggest thing for me is his backups play really well and in key moments. You know, D. Nick has solidified the linebacker position. He had, you know, a really good year this year coaching the backers up, came in from Cincinnati. He's a Florida State guy. That's where he played his football. Joseph A., what can you say about him? The defensive tackle spot. He got a lot out of guys that hadn't done a lot. Harrison Hunt, you know, Taylor probably had one of his better years. He lost Mezador and was able to, you know, keep the train moving. Jason Taylor, his ends played well. Reuben Bain had an All-American year. Jafar Haffey, before he got in the portal, did really well, and he had some younger guys that flashed at times. So there's a lot to like from the defensive staff at Miami and what they put together. And it's cool that everybody's coming back. And that's really exciting when you get guys like Armando Blunt coming in at the defensive end position, and you've got this Justin Scott kid, this kid from Illinois who's tearing up the All-American practices in San Antonio. He looks unblockable. That was an amazing get. And, you know, Lightfoot, you know, this Booker Pickett kid crazy at Under Armour this past week. They say he's got one of the best first steps. I just, there's a lot of sacks coming for this Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you got Rod Mack's kid coming in.
Ryan Mack had a banner week at Under Armour. He's one of the most technical kids. He's the sleeper of the class to me. I think he's the biggest get that nobody talks about. And, you know, he was one of those Miami Garden Ravens. I mean, his dad was a freaking head coach of the team, you know. And Rod Mack, I talked to Rod last night. He was getting ready to have his Miami Garden Ravens 12U banquet. Who, DeMarcus Van Dyke Jr. is on that team, by the way. Mack is doing it again. He's raising new Canes. But I said, Rod, I said, your son is – I think he's the most unheralded. He's like the MVP of this class.
Right.
He could potentially be to Corey Couch and start. Like, he's the same height. He's just got to get a little bigger. He's fast. He's a track kid. And he's a glove. He is literally a glove. I saw him lock down Jabari Brady. I saw him lock down Cortez Mills. These are big names in high school football. Just give you a key beast.
Yeah, I got it.
And so, like, and then he had an amazing Under Armour game. And they started writing about him as if this guy came out, you know, from the sky. It's like, he's been at St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a Miami Garden Raven. And his dad's Rob Mack. Like, it shouldn't be that big of a surprise that he's good, but he's darn good.
Yeah, I mean, reading all of the press that came out of the Under Armour game and the practices, there wasn't one writer, one blogger, one video blogger, one podcaster that didn't talk about Ryan Mack being one of the best kids out there. So it was pretty much consensus that he was out there just running his game well.
And you know why that's so important? How did Washington win their championship game semifinal? It was on a cornerback. They don't have a guy who can freaking cover. Like, we got dudes at cornerback right now. You got Daryl Porter Jr. coming back. You got Devontae Brown coming back. You know, Damari Brown. I forget one Brown when I get him confused. Number six.
Actually, let's talk about that real quick. Because it does impact you a little bit on the depth. But Damari Brown was the freshman, right? He was outstanding this year. He got shoved into some really tough spots, and he showed up. Devontae Brown, his brother, the fourth-year junior, he's entered the portal. He didn't get a lot of playing time this year.
Well, he got playing time, but he wasn't very good. So,
okay.
Farewell. At the end of the day, I think with Brown coming back and Porter coming back and – you get a chance to see, you get Zaquan Patterson, who's a highly ranked kid coming in. I think he's going to start at one of those safety spots. If not, he's going to get significant time. You got Marquise Williams, who played really well.
Yeah.
And then you got, you have Mr. Jaden, who went to my high school in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, Jaden Harris, yep.
So you got, and then you enter, you got Ryan Mack. You got some dudes. Now, Couch is not going to be easy to replace. Because he's just super experienced. He was around for a very long time.
And versatile. And
very versatile. I mean, the guy plays safety in the bowl game.
Right.
And I guess, is Jaden Davis coming back? I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know if he has another year of eligibility. Like, there's a bunch of kids that went through the whole COVID situation that you're not sure whether they are going to get another year of eligibility or not. So, I don't know.
But if he does come back, man, that's a nice little secondary you got there. So
yeah, for sure,
a lot of toys.
Yeah, no, it's looking good, man. And I was so excited to see some of those guys like Booker and Mac, ball out on that national stage. It really was a delight to see. Speaking of the national stage, we have a national championship game coming up. I loved watching those, man, other than the fact that that Rose Bowl didn't start till 5, and then we didn't get a Sugar Bowl until, I don't know, 9, and then, I don't know. By the time that thing was over, I was 17 toothpicks in my eyes to keep my eyes open, because I'm old now, and I can't stay up till 1 in the morning to watch football, although it was great football, and everything came down to the last play, and big things were happening. But we're going to have a Michigan against Washington. An all big national championship game. Yeah, exactly.
Big Ten football coming at you.
You know what would be so weird is if, you know, J.J. McCarthy, outstanding leader of that Michigan team, it would have been so odd if at some point J.J. McCarthy, you know, was working out on the UM campus and was just around the UM staff and all that stuff. It's not like that really happened, did it, right? Like, I'm dreaming or something?
No, of course not. He was in eighth grade on Green Tree at the football hotbed middle school showcase. And so, yeah, I know JJ's family. I know JJ. And we had him down at Coral Gables for an entire afternoon of a workout. And he finished in the top four. Then he went to St. Thomas Aquinas the next day and solidified his South Florida time. And he's been someone I've kept in contact with. And he had a great career at Nazareth in Illinois. And Miami had a definite early shot at him. And I mean, that's been a few staffs, but
right.
He did not come to Miami, and one can only wish One can only imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, by the way, I saw on the pub you had your football hotbed, middle school, all-star games and all that stuff going on last week. First of all, one, I don't know where you find the time. But two, just a great, outstanding job to get those young kids some pub and some great playing time and all that stuff. It looked like you had a real good week.
Well, we had a great week, and I tell you, I would say 30% of the current players at the University of Miami have played in that game. There you go. So it's very significant.
Well,
so we are raising Cane's, baby.
Yeah, but you also got a bunch of other guys that have been through that program that have been making headlines everywhere else too.
We've had guys we have over 100 Division I kids. And they're just too many to name. And so I will say this. We had Ryan Mack on Green Tree and Josiah Trader when they were in seventh grade. They were actually, by then it was the indoor practice facility. So JJ wasn't the only guy. But I want to talk about the guys we actually got.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what we try to do, and you know this, what we try to do with football, how bad we don't care where kids go to school. And I tell coaches that all the time. You know, I cover the Canes. I'm not a Canes fan. A lot of people get mad at me about not being a Canes fan. I say it's kind of like a natural thing when you're reporting on the team for so long. But we try to give young people an opportunity. And this transfer portal beast has changed high school football recruiting for the worse. I mean, it's hard to get a Division I scholarship now. It really, really is. And you gotta have a name, you gotta have some publicity, you gotta have some exposure, and that's what we try to do at Football Hotbed with all our showcases. So just had a coach text me just now, so inquiring about Mr. Breshad Smith.
Ah.
So this is what takes place.
Yeah, exactly. So good job on that. But let's just real quick. You have any thoughts, any previews, any predictions on Michigan and Washington? I know who I want to win, but I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen.
Well, either one winning wouldn't surprise me, but with the way Michael Penix is playing, if Michigan can't do what they did to Bama's offensive line, which is atrocious,
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, to me, Nick Saban solved the quarterback position. He gets props on that. The fact that that's the line, after all these years, that's the offensive line. You talk about the Canes offensive line in pass.
Right.
Wow, that snap was so low on that last play.
Oh, how do you not? I mean,
God looked like he was tying his shoes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to put it all on one kid, but how are you, the University of Alabama?
He's in the portal now. You ain't got to put it on him for long. He's done.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, how are you, the University? How are you, Alabama, and you can't have a kid that can snap the ball consistently?
That's what Paul Feinbaum and others were saying. Like, how is he the best option? Like, it's not so much that he was bad. It's like the fact that you didn't have anything better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he was bad. Okay, go to the backup. No, the backup's worse than him. No, are you serious? So, I mean, we're all talking about one play, but he was bad the entire game. He was terrible all game long.
And he's and been as bad we saw
all season.
As we saw this year with Matt Lee and the Miami Hurricanes, like, that center spot is so integral to the offense.
Let me tell you something. Matt Lee and Cohen were two of the best pickups, and you got to give Rivers props. He's been here, but, you know, and then Maiagoa, like, okay, so Maiagoa, the way he played versus Caden Proctor for Alabama, Caden Proctor had a year to forget. Maiagoa had an all freshman year.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And that's the difference. It's like, it's so nasty to me. I see, oh, Miami pays all their players, da, da, da. Look, if you're going to pay a guy and he does what Maiagoa does, he earned his money. Because if you pay Caden Proctor to give up sacks all year, especially on the way to barely missing a college football championship appearance, first time in history Alabama hasn't been in three straight years, in this Saban run, then Alabama needs to be paying more money, because one worked and one didn't.
Yeah, for sure. So Michigan's favored by 4, but I'm something about Harbaugh rubs me the wrong way, aside from the cheating. But I love Michael Penix. He's an absolute
boy.
Baller.
I like JJ. Of course, you do. I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do, man.
Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do because if they give Penix time, I mean, how is he not the number one pick? Like, how is he not being talked about? Did you see some of the throws?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think some of the draft, especially at the top of the draft as it relates to the quarterback position, kind of going to go back and forth as they go through the combine and all that stuff. But, man, Penix is, he threw like a ball like 55 yards and barely put any effort into it.
He's a dude, but that's a 6-year kid. That's a kid that was underrated. But, you know, that's why you play the game. And you look at JJ, and what is he as a passer? He's a darn competitor. He got that ball. He knew he had to go down the field to win, and they did it.
I'm calling it Washington. Washington 35, Michigan 27.
Gonna be a heck of a game. Can't wait to see it.
All right, man. Well, we will connect next week. Lord only knows what developments will happen between now and then. That Cam Ward deadlines. That Cam Ward.
Please,
still open.
I can't. Will you text me? So just for people who don't know, Beast and I text all the time. He texts me like, hey, you know, Cam Ward hadn't signed with an agent. And I'm like, bro, I can't.
Yeah, he just wrote back, I can't. I can't. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. All right, man. Appreciate you. Happy New Year, everyone. Go subscribe to the podcast wherever you subscribe to your podcast. Go hit up the YouTube channel. We will see you next time. It's The Real Ones Canes Podcast. Peace.